We are joined now in the studio by a very special guest. Mark Dorison is the chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, and we are officially starting up a weekly conversation. So excited about this. Mark, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me, Aaron. It's really great to be here, and I'm looking forward to these conversations.
It's going
to
be a lot of fun. So let's start by talking about something that's coming up on Sunday. You're going to be speaking at the Orange County Human Relations Forum, right, which is on religious freedom, pluralism, and Islamophobia, 3 to 5 p.m. at the Witted Building on Tryon Street in Hillsborough. What's it going to entail?
Well, it's really going to be an exciting program, and I wish I had the actual program in front of me, but it couldn't be more timely. The focus is really on religious freedom and particularly on Islamophobia. And so always a timely issue, I think, in our country to sort of be reminded of first principles, religious freedom being, of course, enshrined in the First Amendment. But in the wake of this campaign and this contentious election, where there's been a lot of, hostility expressed towards immigrants and particularly towards Muslims in our country, including some real serious violent attacks on Muslims throughout the nation, I think it's especially critical for us to get together and be reminded of what's at stake.
And you're going to be speaking there along with Mansur Chima of the Durham Islamic Center, Fatima Ahmad of Muslims for Social Justice. This is free. Everyone's invited to this. It's a really important conversation. And it's been in the works for a while. So has the nature of it changed based on the outcome of the election in November?
No, I think that, as you said, I think it has been planned for a while. I guess if anything has changed, it's the significance and the importance of having the conversation. And so the Human Relations Commission puts these programs on every year. They're always outstanding. And I'm not sure serendipitous is the right word, but the timing of it couldn't be better and more important.
Speaking with Mark Dorison, Orange County Board of Commissioners, and again, that forum is going to be on Sunday, 3 to 5 p.m. at the Witted Building on Tryon Street in Hillsborough, and everyone's invited out to that. It's going to be a really important talk and a really significant one as well. Board of Commissioners is having a pretty busy week this week. Had a meeting yesterday, retreat coming up on Friday with a lot of items on the agenda, including, and we're going to be talking about the Trump administration and what impact it might have on Orange County in just a minute, but you're going to be talking about sort of external change, right, and how that might impact what the county needs to do in order to continue to promote its values and its mission, right?
That's exactly right. You know, I want us to get away from using the term retreat because it sounds like we're moving backwards. I think we should call it the commissioner's advance because it's forward-looking. We do it every year. It's a great opportunity for us. We spend a whole day really engaging more deeply in both policy discussions and how to work more effectively and efficiently for the community. It takes a whole day, and it gives us a chance to engage back and forth that you don't really have in a regular meeting. So we have a new commissioner, Mark Koplos, will be his first retreat. So bringing him fully into the fold is going to be a big part of it.
Is there hazing involved?
I'm not at liberty to say, unfortunately.
So what comes out of these conversations? They're all-day conversations. How do they translate into future meetings, future policy?
Well, the county has a series of goals and objectives, sort of our idealized list of the both very broad areas that we want to work on. And underneath those sort of targeted objectives, and ultimately we try to look at those every year, try to see if there are ones that need to be particularly prioritized based on external challenges or based on opportunities that we see or what we're hearing from the community. And so it's a real good sense for us to really revisit those first principles and figure out, you know, this is the year where we really have an opportunity, for example, to push affordable housing. We've got the bond was passed. And so how do we prioritize that while also making sure we keep everything else moving forward?
What is the biggest external challenge? I know climate change is on the agenda, fiscal changes, obviously, with tax revenues going up and down. What else are those the big ones?
There's really, I try to look at them both from the federal perspective and from the state perspective. And in some ways, the state externalities are even more imposing and more direct. You know, we're always concerned about education funding. The state has continued to cut funding, and in this community, which puts such a high value on education, residents typically look to the county to make up that gap. And the truth is, and what we need to do a better job explaining to people, is that the state is scooping the money out faster than the county could ever put it back. So there are going to be challenges about potentially changes in classroom size that will require, may impact facilities and number of teachers. There's likely to be a push to seek more money for charter schools, including potentially money for capital, which they don't get right now, which would also come out of the county pot. And so there are those changes. If this legislature is anything like it has been in the past few years, there have been a trend towards policies that limit local discretion. So everything from HB2 to zoning and environmental regulations, those are always at the forefront. And then at the federal level, I have made a resolution not to use the word unbelievable anymore because it just doesn't apply to what's happening. But with the EPA and the changes that may be made on regulations that protect the environment, with the changes that may be made in how money comes to states and counties for environmental protection, with the Department of Ed, again, a big push coming from the federal government towards privatization, charters, vouchers, tax changes, as you mentioned, I think. And then there are likely going to be changes to the courts. The one of the things I read is that there's a proposal to cut all funding to Legal Services Corporation, which would, you know, provides vital legal services to low wealth citizens, throughout the nation. They're talking about getting rid of the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice, which would obviously have severe implications for our ability to, make a community that's more just and equitable and fair.
Speaking with Mark Dorison, Orange County Board of Commissioners, should mention also UNC Center for Civil Rights. So what does all that has happened in the last 5 days, what is the impact of that on, first of all, what's the impact of that on the Center for Civil Rights?
Well, it's interesting. I was talking to someone recently, and in the universe of hopes I had around the election in November, one that I didn't probably give enough credence to was the idea that a Democratic victory could have substantially reshaped the Supreme Court. I've been a civil rights lawyer for over 20 years, and the entire time I've been doing that, it has been in a defensive posture, trying to hold on to gains that were made in the 60s and 70s. And so the thought that there might be an opportunity to go forward, to make new gains and make new changes around civil rights and social justice was a really, truly exciting opportunity. And now that's gone. And what we anticipate is the pushback against the gains that have been made to continue even more precipitously. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be looking at a potential Supreme Court justice nominee announced in the next few weeks. I mentioned the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice being cut. You know, the DOJ was instrumental in the redistricting cases in North Carolina, in the HB2 litigation in North Carolina, and in a number of the policing issues around the country. And to have all that go away will be devastating for civil rights on a national level. And, you know, the center where I am over there at UNC is right at the heart of doing that work in North Carolina. So it's never been easy, but it's going to get harder.
Yeah. Does that make the center's job more important? Does that make your role more significant if the DOJ's civil rights division isn't there anymore, either physically isn't there anymore or isn't doing the same work?
I think it does. I think it makes the center and other civil rights organizations in the state, the North Carolina Justice Center, the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, that do this advocacy, are going to be even more important in the struggle. And if legal services is cut the way they're talking about, there's going to be a tremendous need in North Carolina for the most basic kind of legal assistance, people who are getting evicted, people who can't get disability benefits, people whose kid gets suspended from school. So the challenges are great. And then, we at the Center for Civil Rights also continue to live with the sword of Damocles of the Board of Governors over our head. And so that's something that we're also constantly mindful of.
And getting back to Orange County, as a resident of Orange County, what should we be most concerned about? Should we be at the federal level or at the state level? What's the thing that you're seeing that's going to have the biggest actual impact on the ground here?
It's really hard to say. I mean, I think that the what's been overwhelming in the past 5 days is just how across the board these changes seem to be coming. And mm-hmm. so I think almost every issue that this community has expressed concern about, you know, since I moved here in the early 90s, environmental protection, socioeconomic diversity, housing, I think is going to be, this community is going to be severely impacted if federal monies go away for housing. So all of those, I think, are critical. And then again, I also think that that just the tone of community and civic engagement is changing in a way that is distressing.
Mm-hmm. Do you see that changing at all in the future, regardless of what happens?
Well, I'm like Anne Frank. I believe in the goodness of people. You know, I'm always hopeful. Of course, you know, it didn't exactly work out for her, but you know, I think the marches over the weekend were inspiring. I think there's energy in the community around making change, about getting engaged, that I haven't seen before. And I think there's that people are understanding also that all of that advocacy and struggle against injustice has to have a civic engagement component, mm-hmm. that it's going to take more than just going and voting on election day. It's going to take engagement on running for office, on helping support folks who do run for office, in helping people learn about issues and you know, and not just doing it in Orange County, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I love seeing people out in front of Weaver Street registering people to vote, but I really want to pick them up and say, let's drive over to Halifax County and register people to vote, because, you know, that's where their needs are much greater and the resources much less.
Speaking with Mark Doris and Orange County Board of Commissioners, before we let you go, what else do people need to know about that's going on in Orange County?
Well, you know, one of the couple of things we talked about last night, just in case people, you know, I know people are often glued to their TVs for the county commissioner meetings, but in case they weren't, last night we created a joint public safety training facility work group to study the feasibility of creating a training facility for first responders in the county. So that would be police officers, firefighters, EMTs. Right now, we don't have a comprehensive training facility in the county. So that's something that that folks are interested in and we're going to be looking at. Of course, we had another report from Go Triangle on the Durham Orange Light Rail project, which, as you know, is a controversial issue here in the community. We at the board are insisting on getting more complete, more transparent, and more accessible information from Go Triangle. Last night was the first of several reports they'll be making. So just to make sure that everybody has all the information and we're all talking about the same numbers and the same data when we make that decision. And then the one especially nice moment, the Department of Aging honored 5 local companies that for providing quality long-term care for individuals. We gave out the 2016 Long-Term Quality Care Service Awards to 5 agencies that are just doing really important work with seniors in our community.
Very cool. OrangeCountyNC.gov if you want more information about the board, events, and don't forget the Forum on Religious Freedom, Pluralism, and Islamophobia this Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Witted Building in Hillsboro. Mark's going to be one of the speakers there. Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.